And I pray, Lord, that they would not leave without learning something today or something that will remind them of something they already knew and maybe had been overlooking. I pray that the lesson would be effective. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified through it. I pray that you'd give Gary and Debbie a good time with their granddaughter and give them a safe trip back to us. And I pray that you'd continue to bless our church, and thank you so much for our young pastor and his family and all the staff here and everything that you're doing for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I just thank you for it, dear Lord. And I thank you that I get to be a part of it and enjoy all the fellowship with these folks and the good times that we have together. And we can cry together, we can laugh together. And Lord, I just thank you for a good church that your Spirit's felt in, and there's good communication and just a good time being here. And I pray that you bless our visitors today and that they would feel right at home and that you'd bless in each class now. And I pray for these special requests, dear Lord. I pray for Alice Huskins with this brain tumor, and I pray for Tommy Kearney with his brain tumor and condition. I pray for his wife that you would comfort her and all the stress that's on her. I pray for Sally Livingston with this court case about her niece, that maybe this would turn out in a good way for the niece especially, dear Lord. And I pray for Leanne Williams, unspoken request there from Ms. Gallion. And I pray for Sandy Cox, Lord, and that this would be nothing that she'd have to be concerned about, and that the CT scan would do its job and that she'd just not have any more problems with this cancer. I pray for Ernie Ford, it's in Holston Valley, and all the other requests, the 105 folks that were on that prayer list, and probably that many requests for different subjects other than just specific people from this class. So, Lord, I pray that you just be with every person that's written down there and every need that's written on that prayer list. And that you'd be with us all today and be with the after service, be with Pastor Jody as he speaks, be with the choir as they sing, and the special music, and everything's been done here today. I pray to bring you honor and glory, and it would upbuild your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time I taught in here, I told you about my three-year-old then, grandson Cameron, how smart he was. And we thought that, I mean, he read something to his grandmother. He calls her Nanny Lou. He says, "Nanny Lou, you know what this says?" She says, "No, what's it say?" He said, "This says extremely dangerous. Keep out of the reach of small children." And it was from the Toy Story movie. And he has all those little characters and all the stuff that goes with those things. And you know how they market all that stuff to the little kids. And I thought, well, boy, that boy is really smart. And the last time I taught in here, you have to excuse me, but the last time I taught in here, I taught about extremely dangerous things that we can get into. And so I thought this would be extremely dangerous part two. But anyway, I got to think, how's that boy that smart? He didn't get it from his granddad. Maybe on the other side of the family, Mark knows his other granddad real well, but he did get it from the Stover side of the family. And in fact, one time he says, "You know, I can't even believe I'm part Stover." He was that smart, you know. But then I got to thinking, he's watched that movie 500 times. And I guess if you watch a movie 500 times, you're going to pretty much know it verbatim. But anyway, I still think he's smart. And it brought to my mind so many things that are extremely dangerous in our lives. And I had lots of things that I could talk about. And last time we talked about some of the things, and I had lots of scriptures, starting with Eve. It was extremely dangerous that she didn't obey what the Lord told her to do. And you can see the results of it. We're experiencing the results of her avoiding or not paying attention to what the Lord told her. And it went on down through there. In Genesis 3, 1 through 6, it gives an account of an extremely dangerous situation. And that's Eve listening to the serpent, listening to the devil. And how many times in my life, in my adult life, and I've been in church most of my life, have I listened to the devil and got myself in an extremely dangerous situation just by not doing what I know to do is right to do? And it goes on in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, and we go through the Ten Commandments, and going through thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and all these things that we should, as Christians, and I'm teaching to you as Christians, should just know. I mean, it ought to be common sense to us. But how many times will we disobey those things? And knowing that the results of disobeying those things is extremely dangerous. I mean, it really is. And today I want to major on something, as I told you earlier, that's extremely dangerous if you don't take good care of it, and that's our prayer life. It can be extremely dangerous if you're waiting to learn to pray until a calamity comes along. I mean, that's extremely dangerous to you. And as a friend, I would tell you that you need to learn how to pray, and you need to learn how to get a hold of God when things are good. Because I tell you what, I don't care how good things are, how well your life is going, it's not going to be long before you're going to have a situation that if you don't know how to get a hold of the Lord, you're in an extremely, extremely dangerous situation. A bad prayer life or a lack of a prayer life is extremely dangerous. To wait on that calamity, to learn how to pray, is extremely dangerous. But there's also five things I want to point out to you who know how to pray that's extremely dangerous in your prayer life. Those five things are not original with me, and I hope you'll remember them like I did. But when I heard these things, I kept the notes of them because I wanted to be reminded of them, that there's things that will hinder your prayer life, and that makes it extremely, extremely dangerous for you. If we could have a red flashing light or a blue flashing light or some kind of a siren to go off every time these five things gets involved in our lives, we would be better people. The first one that I want to talk about is unconfessed sin. There's not a person in here that doesn't have sin in your life one time or another. Not a person in here. I wish I could say that I'm a shining example for you of confessing my sins and getting them out of my life and keeping them out of my life, but I can't. I wish that I could. As Gary has often said, sometimes we have pet sins. I'm not going to tell you what mine is. He didn't tell us what his was. But we all have something that I won't call it a pet, because we try to take care of our pets. I know people that spend thousands of dollars on dogs that didn't cost them anything. They got them at the pound. But we take real good care of our pets. But a pet sin is something that we don't need to take care of. We need to get rid of it. We need to send it back to the pound. But in Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Boy, that's an extremely dangerous situation. I tell you what, there's not a day goes by in my life, I don't know about yours, but I can stand for the Lord not to be able to hear me. I mean, I've got five kids and six grandkids and a wife and friends and a lot of you all are on my prayer list, and my prayer list just keeps on growing. And I'm glad that I can pray for these people, because most of those people are praying for me. And I don't want to have anything in my life that the Lord wouldn't hear me. And so if you, I mean, you all have been in church long enough to know that you just cannot get by with sin in your life, unconfessed sin. You may take, the preachers call it short accounts of it. In other words, when you realize that that's in your life or you've done something that you shouldn't be doing, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you and repent of it right then and get it out of your life And don't let that be an extremely dangerous situation for you, because I don't care how much you pray, if you've got that unconfessed sin in your life, the Lord's just not going to hear you. And it's just that simple. So that's about the most dangerous thing I think that we could have in our Christian lives. Second thing, and this is mainly for the men, in 1 Peter 3:7 it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Boy, I don't know how many times that's hit home to me. Gracious sakes alive. And I guess there's some marriages that they never have a disagreement and they never have a problem. And I certainly could write a book on the problems that I've caused in our marriage. But I found, especially in our later years of marriage, after the kids were out of the house, I mean, we were so busy when five kids were in there that we didn't have time to realize that we were having any kind of disagreements, basically. And if we did have a disagreement, my kids would always get on me. I can remember plenty of times that one of my kids would come to, "Dad, now you know you're wrong about that." and shame me into asking for forgiveness or whatever. But after the kids were all gone and we kind of settled down, I realized my responsibility, more so than Linda's, is to make sure that my relationship with her is everything it's supposed to be. Not give her any cause to have bad thoughts about me or jealousy or anything else. I mean, guys, that's a great responsibility. I don't want my prayers hindered because I've been mistreating my wife. And if you're in that situation, better get straightened out. The third thing that can cause us a lot of problem with our prayer life, Matthew 5:23-24 says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift." Boy, I don't know how many times, in fact, it happened this week. And the guy wasn't my brother, but I went off on him. And then after it was all over with, I thought, boy, I just made a fool out of myself. I should have kept my mouth shut, even though he deserved to be punched in the mouth, I felt like. And when you're in business, especially in business for yourself, sometimes if you work for somebody else, you watch things like that a little closer. But when you're the owner of the business and somebody's just really getting on your case, you think, you know, I don't have to take this. And then when I get to thinking like that, then pride swells up and says, "Well, I'm the big dog around here," and I'm not, and I start barking back or biting back or whatever. And that's no way for a Christian to do. A few times I've had to call people and apologize to them for the way I talk to them. And if you've got something, and of course this is against our brother, that means if you've got something against somebody in this room, or somebody in one of these other classes, or somebody in your family that's a fellow Christian, and you can't resolve it, the Lord says, you've got a real problem. You've got an extremely dangerous situation. And sometimes we have to swallow our pride. Sometimes we just have to draw back and say, goodness, I want to choke them, but I need to love them. And I don't want my prayers to be hindered just because I'm ill at ease with somebody else or somebody's done me wrong and they're still my brother in Christ. And so, I mean, we're all capable of doing people wrong. Or we're all capable of saying something that hurts somebody really badly. And we're their brother or sister in Christ. So we've got to be really careful about that. And if you know, if you're sitting there thinking right now of somebody that maybe you're a little crossways with, Maybe they're completely in the wrong. And this guy, I still feel like he was completely in the wrong, but I just made it a lot worse by arguing back with him and getting back in his face just like he was in my face. And he was a customer. That's really a smart thing to do. Already had his money though, but but I got it a few years ago, and it wouldn't give me any money now. He's just giving me a hard time. But I was still in the wrong. And this week, I couldn't even remember his name. And I'm going to have to find out what his name was. Everybody else there at work knows his name because he's been on them too. But I'm going to call him and apologize to him. I still think I'm right, and I think he was wrong, but I'm going to call and apologize to him the way I talked to him. Because I don't want that. And the worst part about it, what brings back in my memory, on the front of his motor coach, he had a local church tag on the front of it. I'm glad it wasn't Buffalo Ridge. I would have had a hard time coming in here teaching today if it had Buffalo Ridge on it. But it had a local church tag on the front of his coach. Now, he wasn't cussing. He wasn't saying anything vulgar or nasty. He was just giving me a hard time over that coach and over some of the work that one of my guys had done on it. And his wife was right there backing him up. Boy, I mean, and I could tell probably that she had been giving it to him before he ever gave it to me. I wanted to fuss at her more than him, and I was afraid he might knock my head off. He's a retired Marine, and he would probably go and take a whole lot of muss from me. But we just got to keep situations like that from happening. And when we do it, we need to man up or woman up and make amends for it. That I praised the Lord for that. I did. I honestly did. I said, thank you, Lord, that he's going home with her instead of me. Things can always be a lot worse. thank you for bringing that. I wasn't going to bring that out, but you did. So, all right, the fourth thing. In Matthew 6, 14 through 15, 14 and 15, it says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. My gracious. That's a tough verse. That is a tough verse. It's not saying Christians, you forgive Christians their trespasses. This is just saying forgiving everybody their trespasses. When somebody lies about you and degrades you, or just something awful. Of course, I can't remember anybody doing anything really, really awful to me. I've had people to say things I wish they hadn't said, or done things I wish they hadn't done. I had people to steal from me or something. I wish they hadn't done that. Had some people to sue me over a boundary line dispute, and I wish they hadn't done that because I thought we were innocent in it, but needless to say, and it made it hard for me to pray for those people. It really did. But I have to forgive them for their trespasses. Because I've got a lot more trespasses probably than they do. And I need the Lord to be able to forgive me, and so do you all. I mean, there's not a one of us in here that's immune to these things of having to deal with, even if you don't have a secular job where you deal with the public on a day-to-day basis. And I tell you what, some of that public that's out there is, if you have to deal with them like I do, they's some crazies out there. I mean, there really are. But we still have to go about our daily lives living in a Christian way that our prayers not be hindered. And I want the Lord to be able to answer my prayers anytime that I've got a need. If it's a small need, I have all kinds of small needs. And occasionally, I've got a really big need. I mean, something that's drastic. And I need to get an answer to that prayer. I don't want any of these things that I've just mentioned to keep me from getting that answer. And I don't think that rational thinking people would want that problem either. The last thing that And I could go on and on and on about these things, but our time's running out. The fifth thing that is extremely dangerous for us in our prayer lives is Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Boy, you're talking about another tough verse. We could have gone through the Ten Commandments, part of the law, and there's not a one of us in here that hasn't broken at least some of them. But if we just sit in here week after week, and I tell you what, you get ready to go into a service that you're going to hear a young man preach, and he's going to tell you like it is. And he's going to preach about how God wants us to act and behave. And I don't have an idea what he's preaching on today, but every time he's preaching through the Bible, it comes up just about every time. And there'll be something in there that I need to adhere to. And you all do too. And he says, if we sit here in week after week after week, you sit in this class and you sit over there in the auditorium and you hear good teachers and you hear good preaching and you hear good singing, you know what the law is. You know what God's word says for you to do. This is our law. And this is what we're supposed to live by. And if you don't read it, you hear enough of it if you hear very much, but you ought to be reading it. You ought to be learning about it. And this lesson may not mean a thing to you, but it's helped me all week long as I've been studying for it, because I can see so many weaknesses in my life, and I hope that you'll think about these things, that we need to have a forgiving spirit. We need to keep our marriage relationships right, and that goes for women too. It tells the men to keep that relationship right, but you ladies need to do the exact same thing. It doesn't give you a waiver, being a mean woman or anything else. I mean, we need to keep our sins confessed on a daily basis, sometimes two or three times a day. We need to keep our offended brothers, keep that pathway clear and open. We need to have that unforgiving spirit. We need to obey the scriptures. And above all, we need to pray. I tell you what, if you're not praying on a daily basis, you've got problems. You're living in a danger, extremely, as my grandson would say, extremely dangerous. I mean, that's extremely dangerous. I can't think of anything that would be more extremely dangerous if you're not having a daily prayer life. And as I've gotten older, I don't know that I've gotten any wiser, but my prayer list has certainly grown. And if you don't have a prayer list, you need to start you one. You don't have to start out with 150 people. You can start it out with your family. You can start it out with me. Put me on there. Boy, I'd love to know that I had 100 people praying for me every day. My goodness gracious sakes alive, you couldn't hold me back. Just knowing that fact is really something. And then when you see somebody that's hurting, write their name down or find out their name and then go and tell them, hey, I'm praying for you, brother, or I'm praying for you, sister, or send them a little note or something. If you don't have the courage to go up and tell them, just send them a note. You don't even have to sign it. Just send them a note and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I realize you're having a problem. And so let's do that as a church. Let's do that as you ought to be doing that just as a Christian. And I appreciate you listening today. Our time's gone. And I hope you'll remember some of these things. And remember to pray for each other. Take your prayer. We didn't have them today, but they'll be here next week. And if you get them on emails, just look that over. Well, I tell you what. There's some folks out there that's got some real trials in their lives right now. And so you've got plenty to pray for. So get busy praying. Thanks for listening. Let's dismiss in prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this lesson. And I pray, Lord, that these folks will get it with the intention that I had for them, that they will become better prayer warriors, Lord, and that we could all get our prayers answered, and that you'll be honored and glorified through it. And Lord, I'm I'm glad that you want to answer our prayers. I'm glad that you love us more than we love ourselves and that you want to help us. And I wish that all these folks would have prayers that they could testify answers to before the week's out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.